Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success.
We know that running a small firm is tough, and ending the year with a profit may be even tougher. That's why we created Profit for Small Firm Architects. It's a 3-module digital course, and it's available to you for free right now by visiting entrearchitect.com/freecourse. This is Entree Architect Podcast, episode 114. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. As the leader, it's our responsibility to fill each seat with the right person. We determine who's on our team and how it's assembled, and we set the standards for how our team will work. Get it wrong, and your desire to grow will quickly disappear in frustration. Get it right, and you will build a team of smart, inspired people eager to help you achieve your dreams. So how do we do that? How do we ensure that our team will thrive? This week on Entree Architect Podcast, I will give you a strategy for growth and share with you the 3 R's of team building. This episode of the Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. Learn more at freshbooks.com/architect. So last week, I had the great pleasure of speaking with consultant and executive coach Steve Langrude, and we talked about leadership, and we discussed how to start and grow and inspire a team as a leader of a small firm architecture studio. If you have not yet listened to that episode, I highly recommend that you do so after you listen to this one. Just go to entrearchitect.com/episode113 and you'll hear the whole thing. It's definitely worth the listen. I've gotten lots and lots of feedback this week about how inspiring it was, and some really valuable nuggets in that episode. This week, I want to talk about, I want to get a little deeper about some of the things we talked about with Steve. I have some thoughts this week speaking with some of my Academy members, and I wanted to share them here with you today on the podcast. We talked about with Steve how the first step is to dig deep down into ourselves and learn about our own strengths and our own weaknesses. Knowing who we are and what we are good at will help us to build a strong team. Understanding our own strengths and weaknesses will allow us to see the gaps that we might have and where we need to fill them in. And hiring the right team members should complement our strengths and support our weaknesses. So when we first start, we really need to start with us. We need to understand who we are and what we're doing. So when we first start building a team, we need to know who we are. When I first started, and many of the architects that I speak with, I hear the idea that we just want another one of us. You know, we just want a person with the same strengths and the same weaknesses and the same skills and the same talents as us. I always joke about it. You know, if I could just make a clone machine, I would be a billionaire. I'd just make a bunch more of me, and they would just do what I do, and we would rule the world of architecture. But to build a strong team, we really don't want that. We really don't want a room full of me's. God forbid we have a whole room full of me's. I definitely don't want that for me. And I don't think you really want it for you either. I think we want a smart, skilled, talented, balanced team. You know, we want somebody to complement our strengths, and we want somebody who will support our weaknesses. We want people who are not like us, but are talented in their own right and do things that we maybe can't do. And this overall process of building a team, it takes time. So we need to start with building the business, building the business plan, and developing our systems. I talk about that in other episodes, but really, if you haven't done that, if you haven't built a business plan or developed a business plan and built your systems, you're not ready to build a team. You'll find that if you start without that, and I've experimented with that early in my career of hiring people before I was ready, it'll be very, very frustrating. After knowing who we are, then we need to know how our firm works, right? So we need to figure out those systems. So before we start hiring, we need to build those systems. So if we start to build the team without the systems in place and just rely on finding someone who is just like us with our skills and our talents, someone smart, they'll just want to use their own systems, right? They'll just do what they do. And so without having your own systems, it'll get very, very frustrating. Because the person that you hire, that their system may not be compatible with your system. It may work, but it may not work with your system. So the first step in hiring a team is to understand your strengths and your weaknesses and understand who you are. And the second step is to build your systems before you hire your team. So you need to understand how you work, and you need to understand how your firm works. And it needs to be documented and established. And then, and only then, should you build a team. You start hiring a team. And as you build your team, I want to help you with how are you going to find the right people? How are you going to find that right person? How are you going to build a team that will get you to where you want to go? And I want to clarify that process with three R's. So it's going to be very easy to remember. The three R's of building a team. The first R is to understand the roles that you're looking for, the roles of the process that you've established these processes, and in that process, in that system, there are specific roles that need to be performed in order to make those systems work. So you need to understand the roles. Number two is the responsibilities. What are the responsibilities of the people who have those roles? Okay, so that's the second R. And the third R is results. So we need to know not only what the roles are and what the responsibilities are, but what are the expectations of those responsibilities? What are the specific results of those roles and those responsibilities? So those are the three R's: roles, responsibilities, and results. So I want to get a little bit into each one of those. So let's start with roles. So what are the roles that you're performing as the leader of the of your firm that maybe you should not be performing? Whether you other people can do it better. There may be other things that you should be doing that are more valuable to the development and the growth of your firm. Or maybe you just can't do it. Maybe you're just not qualified to do it. You know, in my case, putting together three-dimensional models, you know, or BIM, I have no idea. I'm not skilled at BIM, and I have no idea how to put together three-dimensional drawings other than basic SketchUp. So rather than spending a long time developing the skills to do that, I'm much better at other things. I'm much better at developing the business and finding the clients and working to market the firm. Those are skills that I'm very good at, and developing 3D models is not something that I should be doing in the position that I'm in at this point. So you need to understand that. You want to hire for roles. You don't want to hire for tasks. Let's sort of break that apart. Roles and tasks. That's something that's very often misunderstood and confused. The definition of task is a piece of work assigned or done as part of one's duties. So it's a piece of work. It's a task. It's a piece of work. The definition of a role are the actions or the activities assigned to or required or expected of a group or a person. So the definition of role is actions. Okay, it's the actions or the activities of a specific person. The tasks are the actual piece of work that you're doing. So tasks is a piece of work, and roles are one's actions. So when hiring, you want to hire for roles. You want to look at the potential. You want to look at the strengths and the weaknesses of the people you're considering, and make sure that they're compatible with the roles that you want to hire for. What are their skill sets? So a role might be, let's say for an example, the role might be management of finances. Okay, so that's the role. And the tasks for that role might be preparing invoices and paying bills and preparing budgets and developing strategic plans. Those are tasks of the role of management of finances. So you want to understand all the roles within your firm. So you've developed these systems, you know how these systems work. Now, what are the roles in order to perform those systems? And you need to understand all the roles for each system in your firm. Then you want to list all the roles as part of your business plan, or just list them, just put them down, every role that you want to eventually have filled. You don't need to hire one person per role. You know, one single person might have several roles. The person that you hire for management of finances, that role might... the role of managing finances may also, the person who you've hired for that may also perform the role of greeting and serving customers. They may also manage the firm's schedules. So those are three different roles. One is managing finances, one is greeting and serving people or customers. The other one is managing the firm's schedule. So those are three different roles. They could easily be held and handled by one specific person. Another role might be the management of the development of construction documents. Another one might be managing clients' expectations. So those are roles as well. People, someone who is going to manage the client's expectations. The other role might be the development of construction documents. So the first R to understand in the development of your firm are the roles. You want to hire for the roles. You want to hire for the roles that you should not be doing, or the roles at where you have weaknesses.
Let's take a quick break here to say thank you to FreshBooks for their support as a platform sponsor of Entree Architect. Because as a platform sponsor, FreshBooks has provided funding and support for our overall mission here at Entree Architect. They recognize the need for small firms like us to build better businesses in order to be better architects. FreshBooks is the easy-to-use accounting software designed to help us small firm owners get organized, save time,
and get paid faster. It takes care of invoicing, expense tracking, estimating, reporting, and it all happens out on the cloud, so you have access to your information from anywhere that you have access to the internet. And I use FreshBooks for my own small firm, Five Cat Studio, and my favorite feature of the FreshBooks software is sending my invoices by email and allowing my clients to pay by credit card. When FreshBooks says that you'll get paid faster, they're not kidding. With the convenience of clicking a button and paying by credit card, many of my clients pay now as soon as they receive their invoice. And for those clients who don't pay right away, FreshBooks automatically sends them a reminder of the balance due at an interval that I set. So once I send an invoice, I can go back to being an architect, and I don't need to chase down any of my clients. And Tim Lee of FreshBooks will show you how easy it is to send invoices by email on our exclusive video series Tim and I produced exclusively for the Entree Architect community. Check out this free video series at entrearchitect.com/freshbooksvideo. There's no catch. There's no email. It's completely free. Just go to entrearchitect.com/freshbooksvideo and you will get the videos right away. There's three of them. Shows you everything you need to know about getting started. And then go to freshbooks.com/architect and sign up for your free 30-day trial and give it a try. It's free. I suggest you just send one invoice and see what happens. That's how I got started. Just send one invoice to one client and see how it works. And when I did that and I got paid much faster than usual, I signed up for the rest of it and I set up my whole account in FreshBooks. FreshBooks.com/architect for your free 30-day trial. And be sure to enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Entree Architect. How did you hear about a section? The second step, the second R in this process is responsibilities. So once you've established the roles and you've determined what role you're going to fill next, because now you're looking to build a team, you've built your business plan, you've created your systems, you've established the roles. Now you're going to pick one of those roles or several of those roles, and you're going to look for a team member to fill those roles. That team member, you know, you may already have a team, and that those roles might be filled by somebody already on your team who are not performing those roles right now, or you might be hiring a new person for your team who are going to perform those roles. And so what are the responsibilities of those roles? So once you've set the roles, what are the responsibilities for each one of those roles? And here this is where communication is critical as you build your team. What are the responsibilities for your role? This week I wrote a blog post over at entrearchitect.com/blog. You'd be able to get to the whole blog. But this week's blog post is 17 essential elements of successful teams. And it's my experience over the years of being a leader of a small architecture firm. These are the things that I've learned. These are the 17 essential elements of successful teams. What made the teams successful in my experience, as well as what are some of the things that didn't make my team successful? What are the essential elements that keep those things that don't make successful teams away. So check that blog post out. I think you'll like that. But the number one essential element in successful team building is communication. To be able to clearly communicate what you want someone to do and the expectations of each member of your team. So communication is critical. So when you hire for specific roles, that role must come with specific documented responsibilities. So you need to write down what are the specific responsibilities for the role that you're hiring for. So maybe you're hiring for the managing of finances. Let's go back to that example, managing finances. So the responsibility of that role might be to communicate the status of the financial health of your firm on a weekly basis. So that's the responsibility or one responsibility of that role of the person who is managing finances. Again, tasks are different. tasks for that responsibility might be to publish profit and loss statements, might be to publish balance sheets to review each week. So the role of managing finances comes with the responsibility of communicating the status of the financial health of your firm. Okay, so that might be one responsibility of that role. So make sure that's written down. What are all of the responsibilities of the role that you're trying to fill? The role and the responsibility is established by you. You decide what the role is, and you decide what the responsibilities are, and that is established by you as the leader. The tasks required to perform the work should also be established by you, but those systems, that's all part of your systems. The tasks required to perform the work is part of your systems. But you have to, the systems will evolve. The process will evolve. The role and the responsibilities pretty much stay the same. In your system, there are roles and there are responsibilities within those roles. But the tasks of how that work is being performed essentially, you know, initially may be set by you in your systems, but your team may find better or more efficient ways of performing that work, and you need to be open to those possibilities, and your system may evolve. And so the tasks evolve, and the roles and the responsibilities do not. And so so responsibilities, they need to be documented, they need to be established, they need to be understood, they need to be very clearly communicated verbally and in documentation. So those are the first two R's. The first R is roles, and the second R are the responsibilities. So now the third role are the results. And the results are really what matters most. The results are we set the roles and we communicate the responsibilities, but the results will determine whether our team is succeeding or not, right? They may be doing the role, they might be performing the responsibilities, and maybe the results are not being met. You need to document, just like the responsibilities, you need to document the roles or document the results for each role. What are the specific results that you want to happen from this role? What do you expect this role and responsibilities to look like? Black and white. This will allow you to have a black and white gauge on whether or not your team member is performing the role that you've assigned to them as expected. These are the results. You either met those results or you didn't meet those results. The expectations are clear, and the specific results either happened or they didn't happen. And so developing construction documents, go back to that example. The results might be that the project was sent out for bid on time as per the schedule. That might be a specific result. On each project, did the project go out on time? Yes or no? Another result that might be whether the project was built with a specific number of change orders, less than a certain number of change orders. So that will require a certain level of documentation in your construction drawings. What are the result? The result is maybe the project was completed with less than five change orders. You know, that's the result. Or maybe the bids came in within a specific limited range. So the budget was a specific number. You prepared a set of construction documents that were intended to be built for that specific budget, and the bids came in all within a certain percentage of that expectation. That might be another result that you expect. There might be design results that you set, specific details that are developed. You know, the specific results that you want to occur from the role that you're setting. These results are all dependent on the quality of the construction documents that we're talking about, right? So, and it's the responsibility of the team member who has that role to make sure that those results are met, right? So the results. You have to document them. You have to make them clear, and they are set. So as you prepare to hire the person, the next person on your team, you want to establish these results, and you want to follow these three R's, the roles, responsibilities, and the results. That's how we're going to get the right people in the right seats. You want to document each role, list the responsibilities for that role, establish the results that will determine whether or not the responsibilities have been met, right? So that's what we're looking for. This document should also be reviewed by the team member fulfilling that role and signed that they agree with the responsibilities and the expected results. So this becomes sort of an agreement that this, when you're hiring this person for this role, here are the agreements. And so when you hire somebody, there might be several roles that they're going to fulfill. And so there might be several documents that they are reviewing and agreeing to. Then when you have performance reviews, this document can be used as a communication tool during that conversation on whether they've met those results or not. It'll make that difficult discussion with somebody on your team who's not meeting the results much easier. You can bring out this document that everybody agreed on when we first started, and either they've met the results or not. You can pull that sheet out and say, okay, did we meet these results or did we not? And if you did not, then you can have a conversation about how do we need to adjust the process? How do we adjust the system? Or maybe how do we adjust the role or the responsibility to help them meet the results, how to meet the expectations. So this document not only helps you hire your team, but it helps you refine your team. It helps you create a team that's really strong because the results are black and white. We either met them or we did not. When you hire a team like this, when you build a team using the three R's, you'll build a strong, balanced team. You'll have the right people in the right seats. And a strong, balanced team, they're going to help you achieve your goals. They're going to help you reach for your vision. They're going to help you live your mission. If you don't have the right people in the right seats, it is nothing but frustration. And this is how you get the right people in the right seats. You follow the three R's, you establish the roles, you establish the responsibilities, you establish the results, and everybody agrees on them. And so with the three R's of team building, the roles and the responsibility and results, your team will thrive and they'll be happier. And in the end, you'll be happier and you'll make more money. And so build a strong, healthy team using the three R's of team building. All throughout this month of March 2016, we are writing about and talking about the theme of leadership over at the blog at entrearchitect.com/blog or right here at the podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss any episodes at entrearchitect.com/iTunes. You can subscribe at iTunes. And we'd love a review or a rating over at iTunes. So you can just go over there, entrearchitect.com/iTunes, and leave us a review or a rating. And we're also on Facebook. We have a really active Facebook group at entrearchitect.com/group that will get you right there over at the Facebook group, loaded up with architects talking about business and leadership and life. It's a private group, so you have to request membership over there, and we'll look at it. And as long as you're an architect, you're welcome to join in on the conversation. I want to know what your thoughts about leadership are. You can go to the show notes at entrearchitect.com/episode114 and leave your thoughts, or just head over to the Entree Architect Facebook group and leave your thoughts over there. And don't forget to pick up your access to our free 3-module digital course, Profit for Small Firm Architects. Just head over to entrearchitect.com/free course and pick it up. It's free. There's no catch. It's just, we just want you to succeed. And learn how to build a profitable course. It's our gift to you. And that's it. That's it for this show. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. And I encourage you to do what I do and share what you know. I'll see you next week. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns. What's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.